That's the Mile High Hoops Podcast with me, Zach Bye, powered by my friends at Superbook Sports.
Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast. Reacting to... We are not reacting. We are looking forward for the first time in a long time. A little bit of a table setter for the Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and the Lakers. We're going to come back, guys, and... equally as important, maybe more important. Obviously, the games are the most important things. We're going to come back tomorrow and react to game number one in Denver. At the time of recording, it is prior to 10 a.m. on the day of the game. It's Tuesday, May 16th, and I am super stoked to tell you that I will be in the building tonight. I was going back and forth, and we talked a little bit about this on our radio show, Stokely and Zach, I was unsure. Here's the thing, and I want to say this too. If you didn't listen to the most recent episode reacting to the closure of the previous series, go back and listen to that. It's superhuman. I'll say that, superhuman. I tell the story of how this podcast became a podcast. Over half a decade ago now, and it's worth your time. I'm very excited. The game had just ended the previous night. But I'm bringing that up because the way that I have covered the team from a boots on the ground standpoint has changed over the years because of really one reason, children. I have a four-year-old at home now, but I also have a one-year-old daughter who comes with, and she's the best. Her name's Mia, but she's got issues with her feet. That we've corrected over the last year, and we're going to continue to correct. And her nighttime stuff just takes more stuff, and two people, it works way better. Not going to get into too much more detail than that. But so I don't go to the games, or haven't gone to the games this past year, the way that I had in 2017, 2018, 2019. We took some time off in 2020, but as soon as they allowed anyone back in the building, I was there among the first in line. 2021, even 2022, this season has just been a little bit different because of that dynamic at home. And I'm bringing this up because I wasn't sure, like, in terms of being in the building, I never want to disrespect the process of covering a team at the professional level. I've done it for years. I know what it takes, and what it takes is being there a lot. And I did not want to go to two games throughout the year and pop back up and be like, playoff time, guess who's back? Zach, I don't want to spend $400 for a ticket, so can I have my media credential that I haven't used this year, right? So I was like, so I'm looking at tickets and I'm like, wow, these tickets are so expensive, you know, reminded me of the Avalanche tickets from a year ago. And so I just picked up the phone and I called Nick O'Hare, the head PR guy, on Monday night. I'm like, hey, just shoot me straight. Like, what's the landscape of this thing? And man, biggest shout out to Nick in the world. He's like, the landscape of this thing is like, get your ass in the building, dude. Like, you have an open door to Ball Arena. You've covered this team for years. You've had this podcast for years. And when I initially was covering the Nuggets in 2017, 2018, like, it looked a lot different than it does these days, okay, from a amount of people, you know, covering the team. And as the team has gotten better, interest has grown. That's a good thing. We should not be gatekeeping the Denver Nuggets from a media standpoint or from a fan standpoint, guys. Like, if people want to jump on and are just discovering the Nuggets because they're on this type of stage, it should be like, you know, whatever it says at like the foot of the Statue of Liberty, like, bring me your whatever. Like, that should be the vibe from Nuggets fans. This is a team that's never been to the NBA Finals. So the bandwagon should have an open door policy. And that previous statement can end here within the next 2 weeks if the Lakers or if the Nuggets can find a way to beat the bugaboo that is the Lakers. And guys, the Nuggets have had run-ins with the Lakers throughout their history, and they have never, never beat the Los Angeles Lakers, ever. You can go back to 1979. You can go back to 1985. You can go back to 1987. You can go back to 2008. You can go back to 2009. You can go back to 2012. You can go back to 2020. And I have, and I've gone back and revisited just like what sort of happened. They ran up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And here you have the latest installment of this longstanding, it's not even a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. It can't be a rival if the same result happens over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's been a Lakers W and advancing past the Nuggets. So that's been their the most recent time they were in the Western Conference Finals, 2020, bounced by the Lakers. The most recent time before that, 2009, bounced by the Lakers. So this has been just a demon that needs to be vexed, that needs to be exercised. And for the first time, the Nuggets are favored to win the series. And they're healthy, and they're the number one seed, and they have home court. Which is why I have been saying that this, for the reasons that I just sort of mentioned, this is the most important series in the history of the Denver Nuggets franchise since their inception in 1976, I believe it was. They have never had a series that had this much anticipation. Besides the fact that this is the furthest point that they've ever been, besides the fact that you're the number one seed, home court advantage, have a two-time MVP, have the battle scars to prove that you've been in these type of wars before, right? We've talked so expansively on how the NBA is a climb, right? And here you are with this point to get to the summit of the sport. But it's not just all that. It's you're going, and it's not just the Lakers. It's LeBron James. It is arguably the greatest player in NBA history. Whether you agree with that statement or not, he's in your top three list. And if he's not in your top three, it's a bad list, okay? You're talking about a guy who's been to 10 NBA finals. You're talking about a guy who's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the sport, but also has more assists than Oscar Robertson or Magic Johnson, right? I mean, this guy... It was called the Chosen One at 16 years old and has somehow exceeded expectations. A prodigy turned GOAT. So, you know, it has so much to it from just a narrative standpoint, talking point standpoint, but also from a substance standpoint. This is WrestleMania 6 Ultimate Warrior against Hulk Hogan. This is the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. The unstoppable force is the Denver Nuggets offense. The immovable object is the Lakers defense. This is the best offense in the playoffs against the best defense in the playoffs. And I am fascinated how this is going to go. All right, we're not going to make any grand predictions on, you know, certain matchups or stuff like that, but just overarching themes that I'll be looking out for, the physicality of the series, okay? This is, you know, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, you know, a front court that is dynamic, that will run pick and rolls, that will try to get to the rim. And, you know, how do the Nuggets counteract that? They don't really have true rim protectors. And certainly you're not going to get that in Jokic. You know, who guards Jokic out of the gate? You know, is it going to be Anthony Davis versus Jokic? Or will they put a smaller LeBron James on Jokic and have AD roam off of Jokic, sag off Aaron Gordon, try to help LeBron at the rim when duty calls for it? That would be the first thing that I'm looking for defensively in this matchup, is who guards Jokic out of the gate. If I were to guess, that's probably how they'll operate. Put the smaller LeBron on Jokic, have AD roam off Jokic, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, if I were to guess how it plays out, I would say Jokic punishes the hell out of it, because he will be able to suck in Anthony Davis, and then it's incumbent upon Aaron Gordon to make shots, Aaron Gordon to punish that sort of dynamic of that matchup. And also there's an opportunity for, you know, making the Lakers rotate to a degree that I don't know if they can, right? Let's talk this out. Like, say Jokic has the ball on LeBron. LeBron doesn't have anything for Jokic, okay, in the one-on-one matchup in terms of LeBron's defense against Jokic's offense. But when you bring in that help defender, right, it could look something like this, and I'm just making this up on the fly, like kick out to Aaron Gordon in the corner, wide open three. If he makes that, the Lakers are going to have to honor that, and then you're one or two passes away from wide open threes for KCP, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. Guys, no one in these playoffs is leaving three-point shooters more open than the Los Angeles Lakers, and it is incumbent upon Denver to make shots, okay? There's going to be a lot to this series that we'll be talking about throughout it, but and not to reduce it down to its simplest form, but you're going to need to make shots, okay? And I'm looking at Aaron Gordon, I'm looking at Jamal, I'm looking at MPJ, I'm looking at KCP, and I'm looking at Bruce Brown. Every guy that I just named is a capable three-point shooter, and they're each going to have a game, okay? So we'll be looking for that defensive matchup right out of the gate and how they guard Jokic. Another thing I'll just throw out there, and it's not sexy to talk about. You're not going to hear it on First Take or Undisputed, okay? And it's never going to be in a headline, but foul trouble. Foul trouble. You go back to the a bubble series against the Lakers, okay? Jokic had either four or five fouls in every game. Go back to the first series against Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, okay? Aaron Gordon, foul trouble in almost every single game. Now, Jokic was pretty good for the most part, okay? But Aaron Gordon, and you can go pull up his game logs, like every game is four or five fouls. Now you're having to manage his minutes and just be hyper aware of how you handle Aaron Gordon. So that is something I'll be looking for sure. When it comes to rebounding, the Nuggets cannot let the Lakers punish them on the offensive glass. Boxing out and just marking a man is going to be so massively important. Again, you're probably not going to hear this talked about by you know, the guys on Get Up, but finding guys when the shot goes up, because the Lakers offense in the half court, all right, you're going to need to limit transition opportunities. And what comes before that is quality offensive possessions. Bad offensive possessions are going to lead to transition opportunities for LA. So you can't, let's just start there. But in addition to trying to limit transition points, you cannot let a Lakers offense, who in the half court is just okay. They're just okay. They're nowhere near where Denver is. So how can you sort of bridge that gap of where the Lakers are in the half court offense and what they could be is offensive rebounding. And we just have to be really, really aware of that just rebounding factor. And whether it's from Rui Hachimura coming off the bench, or obviously we know Anthony Davis is just a rebounding machine. I mean, the way that guy has eaten glass this postseason has been remarkable. But, like, is it like Austin Reeves, you know, swooping in and punishing Denver on one or two possessions on the offensive glass that leads to a kick out three, that leads to a putback? We have to be aware of that and of that dynamic. And then just the rebounding in general. Like, this is not Phoenix, who actually did a better job down the back stretch of that series in that category than I had anticipated. I thought it was going to be a super heavy-handed advantage for Denver. It just didn't turn out to be that in the end. But you can't let that tilt the scales or tip the scales to the Lakers' advantage. So let's be aware of the transition points, rebounding, right near the top of the list of things that we'll be looking for in addition to how they guard Jokic. Speaking of how they guard, how are the Los Angeles Lakers going to guard Jamal Murray? Okay, we have asked a question about Murray for a very long time now of can he be the second best player on a title team? He needs to give us the answer, okay? There is nobody, guys, on the Lakers that can guard Jamal Murray. He needs to punish the Lakers. I think this is a huge Jamal Murray series. I think this is a series where, without exaggeration, I think that Jamal Murray could average... I don't want to get too carried away. This is a series I think Jamal Murray could average between 28 and 31 points. And I don't think that's hyperbole. If you look at the Suns series, he averaged about 25 points a game. If you look at the Minnesota series, he averaged 27. I think the best of Jamal Murray from a scoring output could be awaiting us here in the Western Conference Finals. So if, like in the last series, as we went into the Phoenix series, I said, this is an Aaron Gordon series. And early in the series, offensively, it looked like that. Later in the series, it looked like that defensively. So while Gordon didn't get to averaging 15 points a game like we predicted, he averaged just about 13, my bigger prediction or bold prediction, let's just make it a bold prediction. My bold prediction for the Western Conference Finals is that Jamal Murray will average 30 points a game. That is my bold prediction. It is step-up season for Jamal. It is time to cross through the threshold of a star. And the difference between a star and everything else is a star shines every single night. And Jamal Murray is going to need to shine every single night if Denver plans on advancing out of this series. So despite his status on the team, he's almost like an X factor for me. And an X factor typically goes to a more variable player who could be up and down, and you're betting on them to be up. Jamal Murray has, unfortunately, falls in that category of up and down. I think you see a lot of ups from Jamal Murray in this series. So I know what I'm going to get from Jokic, and I think I know what I'm going to get from Jamal Murray. Aaron Gordon, MPJ, those guys are going to have to cut off the ball, make the Lakers pay, make them rotate. They need to make shots. KCP, Bruce Brown, it goes without saying, those guys are going to need to be the very best versions of themselves. This is an extremely tall task, and a team that, unlike Denver, in terms of their best two players, unlike Denver, Anthony Davis and LeBron James have been here before and have crossed through. And Denver just doesn't have that history to draw from. But eventually, everyone's got to do it for the first time. And it's Denver's time. It has got to be Denver's time. This is not the same Lakers team that Denver played in the Western Finals in the bubble. And this is not the same Nuggets team. I mean, think about who was playing for the Nuggets when these two teams played each other in the Western Finals in 2020. Paul Millsap's no longer here. Jeremy Grant's no longer here. Gary Harris was starting for the Nuggets. Torrey Craig, Monte Morris, Mason. The whole team has changed. Like, PJ Dozier was playing in that series. Everything has changed about both Denver and the Lakers, except for the top two on both teams. Anthony Davis and LeBron James remain the consistent on the Lakers side, and Jamal Murray and Jokic, and to a lesser degree, MPJ, remain the constants on the Nuggets side. So we'll see, man. Buckle up. I'm going to be in the building on Tuesday night, and I cannot wait to come in here and react. Thank you guys for being here. If you think we deserve 5 stars, rate us 5 stars. Tell a friend. And I can't wait to come on Wednesday morning and react. I'm going to be on Schlereth and Evans, the morning show, and serve it up my thoughts right here on the podcast, and then of course on Stokely and Zach as well. All right, guys, it's step up season. Can the Nuggets get to a place that they've never been before? However it shakes out, you already know we're going to be talking about it and breaking it down right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Mile High Hoops podcast, powered by Superbook Sports. Until next time.